The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards, proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch or a link to our Pro Wrestling Tee store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
Hey, folks, this is Dell, the Patriot Wilkes, and you better be listening to The Shining Wizards, because if you're not, I'm climbing to the top turnbuckle and I'm going to blast you with a Patriot missile. So it'd be easier for both of us if you listen to The Shining Wizards.
I have a small dick.
Titties! God damn! Woo!
We are 5 days away from the final in the series of birthday bonanzas. Kevin will be up Monday. Special start time, 6:30. Don't forget to tune in. Matt and I were going over the guest list earlier today. And lo and behold, we're still getting responses. So we thought that the guest list was all said and done, that we had everything locked down, that everything was all set to celebrate Kevin turning only 35. God damn, it makes me feel old. Not that Kevin's a spry young chicken anymore either, but Jesus Christ, he's a good-looking kid. He's got a good head of hair. You know, I'm sure he could, you know, do a little DDP yoga to put on some muscle, but who am I to bitch and moan? The kid's an Adonis compared to the rest of us around here. And I think Matt would agree with me there. He's turning 35, and we've got a humdinger of a spectacular plan for him. And I'll give you a little teaser. We're starting right out the gate with some big names. I know with mine, everything was pretty well structured, if you will. You know, we had some of the younger talent come on first, and then we built up to a crescendo. And, you know, Eric Bischoff was the main event, which was awesome. But Kevin's, we're going to be all over the place, and it's packed. We've got names on there. We're going to blow your mind with what we got. But that's next week. And unfortunately, tonight, I am the lonely wizard once again. You know, sometimes when we talk, we always try to plan to see if we could get at least two of us together to do a show because, you know, quite frankly, we all have pretty good chemistry, whether it's two of us, three of us, or the elusive four of us. And Matt made a point to say, I'm tired of the solo shows. I'm tired of, you know, just one person doing the show. Well, you got me tonight. We ran into a few snafus yesterday. We couldn't pull it off. We couldn't pull it together. And unfortunately, tonight, you guys are stuck with me. So I hope you enjoy what's going to happen tonight. CPA is supposed to be calling in, one of my favorites from the indie scene, part of the Breakfast Club, your current Creative Pro Wrestling tag team champs. Guys that should have been Tier 1 Tag Team Champions, but that was out of my control. What a hell of a feud they had. It was good stuff. If you ever get a chance to go back to the Tier 1 archives, I suggest you check that out. Those guys are fucking talented. We're going to talk to CPA tonight. We might have a few more surprises. like me actually ending the show early so I can get some sleep. Kind of tired of, you know, going to bed at midnight, waking up at 5, 6 days a week, only to have my son screaming at the top of his lungs on a Sunday morning at the television because him and his friends are playing 500 rounds of Fortnite. If you're a parent or even if you're a gamer, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I've played it. I'm getting good at it. Not nearly as good as him and his friends because, you know, like I said, they play pretty much 15 hours a day. But I guess that's what kids do. I mean, that's what we all did. I played a lot of video games when I was a kid. I still play video games now. And I kind of realized today that I'm probably already halfway to the grave. Getting old, but it is what it is. But we're not here to get depressed tonight. We're here to do some wrestling talk. Talk about wrestling. Oh, well, thank you, whoever that was. Yeah, I'm trying to do voices. Work with me, people. It's a one-man show. I'm trying to make it as awful as possible so Matt gets pissed off at me. We've got two big stories in the news, but I'm going to lead off with something interesting that I found. Brian Lawler, you all know him as Brian Christopher, Jerry the King Lawler's son. Who? Yeah, remember that gimmick where they were trying to deny that he was Jerry's kid? Jerry's kid, get it? He was arrested today, actually 2 days ago in Memphis at the Hampton Inn. Check this story out. He checked into a room with the Southern Bad Boy, Terry Teague, who's, I guess, an independent wrestler down south. And they were trying to check out without paying. Apparently, they owed the hotel something like $800. And they said, sorry, we don't have the money. And the proprietor of the hotel said, that's okay, stay right here. Dialed up the Memphis police. And the two of them got arrested. They were arrested for theft of services less than $1,000. So I can't imagine that it's going to be any jail time. It's probably just going to wind up being paying a fine or, you know, paying the hotel owner and paying some, you know, some civil penalty, whatnot, or, yeah, I guess a criminal penalty. There's no civil penalty because it's criminal matter. But we'll get more about courts in a second. So he posted bail. There's supposed to be a hearing today. I have no follow-up, but apparently his bail was only $250 while Mr. Teague's was $1,000. I guess when you're the Southern Bad Boy, they know that you've got some money in your pocket, so they hit you with the bigger fine. Who knows what the story is? I don't know, these crazy people down in Memphis. Sorry to the people that are listening to the show from Memphis, but y'all are crazy. You like how I did that? Y'all are crazy. But the big news is out of the Northeast, and I know we've talked about it hundreds of thousands of times on the show, and just how important Madison Square Garden is to those people getting into professional wrestling and those folks that are currently in the WWE. You know, they called Madison Square Garden the Mecca. I don't know if that's necessarily true anymore for professional wrestling. Just because they don't really do much in terms of giant shows there. You notice I didn't go with the obvious. What's the obvious? This one. Well. But from my research, it seemed like the last big thing that they did. There may have been other pay-per-views, but when WrestleMania 29 was in town 5+ years ago, they had their Hall of Fame ceremony at Madison Square Garden. And I think they did that mostly because they inducted the late, great Bruno Sammartino. Wow, it's so weird saying that. Like, it's so weird even calling him the living legend anymore. But listen, we've talked enough about Bruno's death on the show already. So MSG is getting pretty tired of not hosting WWE events anymore. Now, if you guys know from history, Madison Square Garden and World Wrestling Entertainment do have a working agreement where the WWE has rights of first refusal for anything involving professional wrestling in Madison Square Garden. What does that mean? That means if another promotion knocks on the Garden's door and says, hey, we'd like to run a show in, oh, I don't know, say September of 2018, and they pick a date, the Garden has to go, the brass of the Garden has to go to WWE and say, hey, listen, we have this wrestling group that wants to do a show. They're looking at this date. Do you want to book something? And if WWE books a show on that date, the other organization is not allowed to work the Garden. And I'm pretty sure if my history recollection is correct, that the this right of first refusal goes 30 days backward and 30 days forward. So let's just say they picked September 1st, just arbitrarily. And WWE says, no, we want to run a show, say, you know, September 1st or September 2nd, something somewhere along there. Well, that right of first refusal will not only cover September 1st through the 30th. Wait, 30 days has it? Yes. But it will also cover the entire month of August. So no one can book from August 1st to, I guess, October 1st, whatever that 60-day range fits. So this is kind of important because MSG is pissed off because WWE is just not running shows at the Garden anymore. And they could be in a situation where they just can't run professional wrestling there. So apparently AAA has reached out, and oddly enough, like my example, they want to run a show in September. And apparently there's been some battling with WWE because, like I said, they want to be able to, if you're not going to do anything with us, we want to be able to move on. So there's probably going to be a little bit of a legal battle. Who knows if AAA will be able to get in? Who knows if WWE will say, you know what, you guys need to make money, go ahead and do it. I've heard stories that the Garden is not exactly the cheapest place in the world to work. I don't know if you can consider that familiar to the situation at the Manhattan Center, where once things started picking up there, they started jacking up the prices, which is why Ring of Honor doesn't run there anymore. At least I don't think they run there anymore. But from what I understand, the Garden is expensive, and the area around the Garden, 34th Street, Penn Station, I mean, yes, you do have a major transit hub there in New York City, but apparently the accommodations are not so great. Now, they've been running a lot at Barclays Center. Why? Well, number one, the Barclays Center is a new facility. Number two, you could still say that you're running in New York City, which, of course, you are. As you know, I mean, a lot of people consider Manhattan to be New York City, but New York City encompasses the five boroughs. Shit, Phil Rea can say he lives in New York City, even though he pretty much lives in New Jersey Light, which is Staten Island. And don't argue me against that, because it's mostly Italian people on Staten Island, mostly Italian people from Jersey. Even if you want to argue Long Island, I rest my case. You like that? Like my little problem solving there? So, with this right of first refusal, AAA is trying to squeeze their way in. Who knows if it's going to happen? There is a caveat, though. The WWE does not have an agreement for the theater at the Garden, which used to be known as the Feld Forum. Now, years ago, when the WWE would run shows, a lot of times they would do a closed circuit at the Feld Forum while they ran the live show in the Garden. I believe the original WrestleMania had their setup at the Feld Forum as well. I don't really remember. You're talking almost, you know, 35 years ago at this point. But when they ran events, they had the option to run the Feld Forum, but they didn't have a contract to use that area. So, for instance, other organizations could come in, like AAA, I believe, ran there in 1994. They had a WCW show there in 95, and I actually believe Bruno Sammartino refereed the main event. I want to say it was Ric Flair and Sting, maybe, but I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me on that. So there has been wrestling other than WWE under the MSG umbrella, just not in the Garden itself. I'm interested to see how that turns out. I think it'd be kind of cool to see if we can get somebody new in there, like you know, AAA shit. Like I said, I've been watching CMLL, which I have to catch up on lately, and I started watching the episode from 2 weeks ago today. Yeah, I know, I'm a little behind. I've been a little busy, people. Sorry. But it's some interesting stuff, and I, you know, of course I can't understand the commentary, but you can follow. I mean, most of the matches are 2 out of 3 falls. You could pick out who the sides are. There's no tags, so you could pretty much follow, like, you know, like once somebody's out of the ring, somebody else can come in. It's a little more acrobatic. I wouldn't say high spots like you see in the United States. It's a lot more like pageantry and showmanship, and I don't mean guys coming out with flowers and whatnot. I mean, like, you know, like just flips to enter the ring, and you know, jumping over the ropes backward to go to the outside. But it's more poetic than it is aggressive, if that makes sense. So it's a different beast, but it's pretty interesting stuff. So shit, if AAA manages to get into the Garden, I might have to take a road trip to go out there. We talked about courts with Brian Christopher a few minutes ago, and the other big news, I think probably more important in the grand scheme of things, the case of CM Punk and Colt Cabana against Dr. Chris Ammon and, you know, to a lesser extent, World Wrestling Entertainment. Well, the jury was out for 2 hours. They deliberated for 2 hours, and they came back, and they found that CM Punk and Colt Cabana were not liable for libel against the doctor. As you recall, back in 2014, CM Punk, after he left the WWE, appeared on Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling podcast, claimed that Dr. Ammon was negligent. He failed to diagnose what he had as a staph infection in his back. And apparently, I haven't listened to that in probably close to 4 years now. He also said that that Ammon wasn't, diagnosing anything properly. You go back to the Royal Rumble of that year, which is where he allegedly had the staph infection. Apparently he took a powder to the outside. He said he was concussed. And things didn't kind of go well. He felt that he wasn't being diagnosed properly. Anyway, a whole bunch of jargon. But the downfall for the doctor, he was making a claim of libel against CM Punk and, I guess, to a lesser extent, Colt Cabana. But he never alleged during the trial that he had any problems doing his job. He claimed that he suffered reputational damage, but he's the doctor of WWE. He didn't lose his job. So that says to me that your reputation really wasn't hurt because you're still working at the job that you had. And on top of that, you didn't suffer any monetary damages. You were still getting paid to do that job. So with those factors, it's kind of hard to say that you suffered damages as a result of somebody saying things that weren't true about you. So even if you do assume that CM Punk lied his ass off and said all these things, there really was no proof that he was entitled to any kind of damages. But, you know, the jury decided ultimately that these guys were not responsible, that they weren't found, that they weren't found liable for libel. I know it's weird to say that. The next step now is to try to decide if the legal fees of CM Punk and Colt Cabana are going to be paid for by Chris Amon and, to a lesser extent, WWE, because the story was going that WWE was paying for this litigation. I don't know how it works where the trial was held. Sometimes you have to petition the court. You have to file you file motions after the fact to prove everything that you've had to spend in legal expenses and legal fees. I'm getting a call right now on Skype, but we can get back to that. There's not too much more for it. But let's go to the hotline right now. You're on the line with Shining Wizards Tony. Who am I speaking to?
Speaking of Bear Bronson.
Bear Bronson, I was expecting your call, brother. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. For those of you who have been living under a rock, Bear Bronson is your current Creative Pro Champion. And this Friday at the Rahway Rec Center, he's going to be challenging the one and only Barriqua Beast Dan Moff for the for the WrestlePro Silver Championship. Anyway, how you doing tonight, man?
Not only for the Silver Championship, but it's going to be my first ever dog collar match.
That's right. Putting the icing on the cake. So you guys have been battling for quite a bit now. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're not wrong on that. It's been an interesting story so far, and it's definitely not going to end anytime soon. Especially with, I'm sure you know the whole injury that happened. I'm pretty sure it was March 10th.
Was that your first match with Moff?
Yes, that was my first.
Okay.
And then, the injury happened. I broke his face, and then last time in Brooklyn, it got pretty wild.
Yeah, but he's one up on you at this point, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Well, I mean, listen, Dan Moff's been around for, 50 years now? I mean, I don't want to call him an old man, but Jesus Christ, he feels like he's been doing this forever. What's it like being in there with him? I mean, we've had guys on that have worked with him before, guys that have worked against him before. He's not very gentle, I would imagine.
Oh, not at all. It's very intense. If you watch our match from the last time we wrestled, right off the bat, as soon as we're both in the ring, Dave Sergio can't even announce us. The ref can't separate us. It's, we're smacking each other in the face, just ready to go. Something that I don't think WrestlePro has seen in a long time. And I don't think that, I don't think Dan Moff, I don't think he's had, he's had good competition. It's the WrestlePro locker room's, rich with talent, but I don't think he's had somebody that can match him in intensity and a hard hitting nature. So I think it's something very new for him. And I think that's something that the WrestlePro fans, I think it's new for them to see.
Well, I think he likes the fact that, you're a younger guy. Like you said, you're as hungry as he is, probably even more hungry. You're probably as hungry as a young Dan Moff was. And, I know he's an intense guy. He's a strong guy. He doesn't mess around, but I think in a way he probably gets off on the fact that you're coming at him like this. I mean, do you think
that's
the case?
I think he does too. Yeah.
I mean,
what we can say?
No, go ahead. You're good.
Well, I mean, I was just kind of, you know, going to go off on that fact that, you know, you can tell, you know, every time we're in there, he's in a sick way, he's enjoying it. You know, I feel like every time, you know, before his victory last month, I feel like every time I've gotten into a ring with him, I've left him laying. But in a way, he likes it. And it goes back to what I said before. I don't think anybody's really brought this to him in a long time. And, you know, the way Dan Moff is, you know, really making a big comeback this year, you know, I think what better time than now to really capitalize on that and, you know, make you know, really cement my place at WrestlePro and other places.
No, I got you. I got you. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just taking a look at my notes. You're also fun. while we got the WrestlePro going on, you're also the current reigning Creative Pro champion.
Yeah, and that's why this weekend is definitely going to be a huge test for me. You know, I haven't really talked about that much with anybody, but you know, if you notice, Friday is the dog collar match with you know, it's not just any dog collar match; it's a dog collar match with Dan Moff. You know, that means, you know, win or lose, I'm either way, I'm walking out very damaged. Both of us are, he as well as he is. I don't know what he's doing the next day, but I know for sure I'm, you know, even if I win, and I know I win, but even if I win, if I stand above him with that title, with our dog collars on, I know I'm still walking. And you know, that's no angle or anything. I'm walking out of that. We're probably going to spill each other's blood. We're probably going to tear each other limb from limb in the realest way possible. And I have to, either way, I'm going to be standing above him. My body's going to be broken. And the next day, I have to defend my Creative Pro Wrestling Championship in the main event, which is looking to be a huge crowd, a huge turnout that we're very proud of. But that's absolutely going to be the ultimate test for me. I've had lots of tests lately with, you know, wrestling more than I sleep. You know, I'm traveling a lot now, but something like this I haven't had yet. So it's going to be very, interesting.
Johnny Clash is on Saturday, correct?
Yes, sir. He's got his rematch.
Oh boy. I'm telling you, you got a hell of a weekend. And I was looking at the cards earlier today. You are not kidding, man. I mean, I'm sure the rec center is going to be sold out. This Creative Pro crowd is going to be standing room only. You know, there's just a lot going on. You beat Max Caster, who we spoke to a few weeks ago for the championship, right?
No, actually, I actually beat Johnny Clash.
Oh, you beat Johnny Clash, so this is his rematch. I'm sorry, I'm getting my timeline screwed up.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm still here. I'm sorry. I'm dealing with a whole bunch of technical.
I didn't lose you.
No, no, no.
I just got out of the gym. I'm in the parking lot.
Oh,
I wanted to make, which is better service than my house, by the way. So that's actually a plus. But
that's good stuff. That's good stuff.
I know last time we had an issue with service and everything, because my house is just, for some reason, with internet and service and everything, it's just terrible.
No, and it's been crazy here. I got a phone call from my wife today. She's like, I don't know why the phone at home isn't working. And we've got one of those Comcast, you know, like you get your cable, your phone, your internet, you get everything under one thing.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, I'm trying to be the good husband. And I'm like, let me go online, because, you know, you have the power to do that now, and see what exactly is happening. And everything seems to be working, the internet and you know, the TV service. You go to the phone option, and they show you a little map of, like, your immediate living area, and the entire thing was just covered in red with a big exclamation point. I said, well, I guess that's why the phone's not working. So, you know, these things happen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, I noticed you've also been doing some work with CZW, a lot of the Dojo Wars shows. How are you enjoying your time down there, and have you gotten the bug to get into the, you know, into the hardcore stuff working with Combat Zone?
So I definitely want to make my way back there. I haven't really been there in a while because of other stuff I've been up to. So, I mean, you know, Dojo Wars is, to me, very important. It's very special to me because it's always a place to, you know, get in the ring with somebody new that you haven't ever, you know, been in there with before. I think it's more important than people think. Not only is it CZW's, you know, pretty much it's their developmental system. It's good. I don't want to call it a rep because it's way more important than that. But like whenever, you know, if I'm free during the week, I could just go down there and get in the ring, roll around with somebody new in front of a, you know, a small crowd, but a small, but lively crowd. I haven't really been down there just because I've been involved in other projects and other, and you know, I've really been traveling a lot lately. So I have to get down. I heard they have a new location too. So I need to go check that out.
Oh, that's cool. It's just that lately I've been seeing a lot of the guys that have been coming out of the Creative Pro Academy. Some of the guys that, you know, that work some of the other territories like Warriors, like a lot of the guys, you know, everybody's sort of in a different little spot, but it seems like that combat zone is kind of like where everybody just gets together. And like you said, you get in there, somebody maybe you haven't had the chance to meet or work with yet. And it gives you a chance to, you know, kind of feel each other out and see where everybody else is at in the business.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And, you know, I know right now the Shook crew, Max Caster, Bryce Donovan, and Bobby Orlando, those guys are killing it over there right now.
Yeah.
I think they're really taking the whole thing by storm, whether those fans like it or not. I don't think they do like it. But, man, those guys have really taken things by storm in a really short amount of time as well. So I'm really excited to see what they cook up, especially with Tournament of Death this weekend. I'm very excited to see that.
I tell you, I mean, look, I like all the guys down in CZW, but that Tournament of Death, man, I still can't watch that thing. I'm afraid yeah, somebody's gonna die, dude. Niche. Like, I can't.
Yeah, no, it's. I know GCW. Their Tournament of Survival. I know. I saw some footage from it. I heard they killed it, you know, where they ran. So it's cool. I really enjoy this time of the, you know, this time of the year. It's very lively, you know, even not only with deathmatch tournaments, which it is, but not only with that, but, you know, with shows like, you know, even, you know, WrestlePro. I mean, look at this card. It's, in my opinion, it's one of the best. I think the whole second half of the WrestlePro show this Friday is, you know, you got a seven-way ladder match, a dog collar match, a steel cage match, and then you have Joey Janela and Ultimo Dragon.
Now, the steel cage match...
Second half itself.
Yeah.
With all the other hungry talent they have, you know, on the show, you know, again, that's going to be very, very, very exciting. I think it's, you know... I'm very excited to see.
The steel cage match, that's the title match with Keeling and Kevin Matthews, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. No, I was going through the card today and I'm like, I can't write everything down. I'm going to get the highlights. I'm going to get the people that are on there. And dude, people that aren't even wrestling, like TJ Wilson's going to be there. I just saw that D'Lo Brown's going to be there. Rob Van Dam is going to be in.
Rob Van Dam, yeah.
Dude, these are just the appearances. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are just people coming to hang out and have a good time, you know?
Yeah, no, this is huge, for sure.
Dude, Ultimo Dragon and Joey Janela. I mean, come on, dude, really?
I mean, especially fresh off of last weekend, him and PCO, Joey and PCO.
Looked, you ain't kidding.
Looked unreal. You know, I'm very excited to see what he's going to bring to WrestleBro.
We talked to PCO, I think Matt spoke to him a few weeks ago, and it's just insane. Like I remember him from the 90s. And just seeing him now, like, he's a completely different machine. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, it's a huge turnaround. I don't think I've seen a comeback like this ever. It's wild. It's crazy. But he's showing that it's perfectly possible though for anybody.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's the guy's an absolute machine.
You know, like you always hear stories like, you know, like Jacques always calls himself, you know, he came out and called himself a pussy compared to his brother. But, you know, you look at Raymond Rougeau, you look at PCO, like a lot of those guys, man, those, they're just legit tough guys. But like you start to think like, well, maybe they're a little older. They're going to get a little slower. Nah, man, he's a, you know, pardon stealing this from Dan Moffa. He's a beast.
Yeah, for sure. It's crazy. I love that, though. I love stories like that. I love, you know,
it's
crazy. I love stuff like that.
Let me just give a couple of other highlights. Who's James Ellsworth working with Craig Steele? LAX defending the titles, the tag titles against Massage Envy. Yes. VSK is another guy that impresses the shit out of me, by the way. But we don't have to.
Oh,
have
VSK?
Yeah.
Oh, he's disgustingly underrated.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And I'm sure a lot of us know that. He was always, even before I got into wrestling, I remember, because I'm, you know, I live around where, because he's from VPW, Victory Pro Wrestling, and
yes.
I'm from that area where they run. So I'd always see on, like, you know, their social media and their, what, you know, YouTube and whatever, and just be like, wow, that guy's just on another level of, you know, athleticism, and just what he brings to the table for anybody that books him is, you know, it's absolutely different. And he's got a level of intensity too, that I think he really holds in.
Yeah.
Not even just with like his facials or anything like that. I mean, like his movements, not only does he move extremely fast, but everything he does has an exclamation point on it. And I think the more he gets out, like, the more people will notice that. And I think he could really be a huge asset to pretty much anybody that books him.
Yeah, that's the funny thing.
He's somebody that I looked up to, and somebody that's helped me ever since I got into wrestling, like, along the way. You know, he's one of those guys where you get in the ring with him, you walk out a better wrestler instantly, you know?
Yeah. No, I got you. And it's funny because I know you were probably talking to Matt, one of my partners in crime, earlier today. And I just got a text from him. He says, please talk about the Creator Pro show. Yeah, no kidding, douche.
Yeah. No, we're very excited for that. To me, it's absolutely going to be our biggest show yet for many reasons. You know, not only, you know, the names we're bringing in, of course, are, you know, great, you know, with Teddy Hart coming in, Jerry the King Lawler, which I'm very excited for. I'm
insane.
Not even going to be in the ring with him, but I'm still very excited for that. Katarina Waters, which is very big for Chris Statlander. I'm very excited for her. But also, you know, in other ways as well, where we have this, we call it the King of Cap Battle Royal, which is a huge part of the show.
Okay. Now, is that going to be a separate championship?
No. It's going to be a... You know, kind of like, it's kind of like the King of the Ring.
Okay, so it's going to be something that somebody's got some bragging rights for a while.
Exactly.
Nice.
And, you know, there's a lot of talent in there that can really use that extra momentum.
Of course.
Especially with, you know, it's a good mix. It's talent right now that, you know, I'm sure are looking for, you know, new horizons. But you also have in there, I think half the Battle Royal is our students that haven't been shown yet at all. Creative Pro Wrestling Academy right now, in the past, I want to say the past year, has really grown with a new crop of talent. How do I explain it? It's like a new, it's almost like a new beginning. You know, we have a lot of new characters and a lot of new that haven't been seen at all. Some of them have only been training for the past year, past few months. But we're very excited for them to, you know, get a taste of, you know, being in front of a live crowd and having that spotlight. And, you know, it's fresh faces. It's fresh new faces.
Oh, no doubt. And the Battle Royal is probably
the Battle Royal.
Oh, it's the best way to get, you know, get somebody exposure, get them in front of a crowd for the first time, let them feel things out. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's they're definitely going to be breaking their way in, because Creative Pro, the way we've grown it and the way it's grown over the past few years, it went from being these garage shows that you could fill, if you're lucky, you could fill 100 people with them, to, you know, running in St. James and Nassau Community College, these big, you know, venues. where you could fit a lot of people. It's really grown. It's grown exponentially. And it's all been with, you know, the core roster, you know, the guys that, you know, myself, Max Caster, Smart Mark Sterling, MJF, Johnny Clash, those guys, as well as, you know, the guys that have joined the family, like, you know, VSK, Kai Katana, you know, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like we're bringing on a new season. That's kind of, like, we joke around. We like to call it, like, the new season, the new cap season.
I like
it's
that.
A whole bunch of new faces that are just breaking in. And I think that's really exciting. I think that's a new, you know, guys like Harry Zen, been training with us for the past year. And I don't even think it's been a year. But guys like him, you know, if you look on our YouTube page, if you look at the Creative Pro Wrestling YouTube page, most of them have promos that they've put out. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't mean to sound bad. I really don't think this way about it. I'm very excited when new students join the school. I want to help as much as I can. It's a place that has helped me more than anything in the world. And, you know, when new students join and they look up to guys like me and the senior guys, I want to look to help in any way possible. But when they were coming out with promos, you expect kind of the minimum, not really in a mean way, but you're like, you know, all right, let's see what their first promos are. And man, if you look at this YouTube page, some of them knock them out of the park. Most of them do. I didn't expect this. You know, I expected, you know, the normal stand in front of a camera. You know what I did? I remember me and MJF, we were in my house and we cut this real basic promo that, like, was really not interesting, whatever. And you expect that from new students. But man, these guys, if you just look at what's recently been posted on the YouTube page, most of these guys have just knocked it out of the park. So I think that's really, it impressed me. It impressed a lot of the guys. And I'm really excited to see where that goes. You know, a lot of guys, like, to name a few, like, we have a real, you know, character like Carlo Weiss. It's this metalhead, you know, probably one of the best guitar players I've seen in person. You know, you have Steven Azure, who, you know, labels himself as the likable guy, which I don't think anybody's going to really like him, but I'm excited to see the reactions he gets. And whoever's listening to this, go see it for yourself. These guys want to be seen. They want to be heard. They're new. They're fresh. You know, take a look at them. It's going to be, it's an exciting new chapter for Creative Pro, for sure.
You know that, you know, you mentioned these new guys being good with the promos, and I got to be honest with you, when we follow a lot of the local organizations, of course, you know, through our Facebook page and whatnot. And, you know, I think it might be a New York thing, because you don't really see too many bad promos. So if these new guys are coming out there and they're bringing the goods right off the bat, I think that's also a testament to, you know, not necessarily watching like the canned promos that you'd see, say, on WWE, where somebody's writing them for you, but you actually get a flavor of, you know, the guys and the ladies like speaking from the heart and just saying, you know, this is me and this is what I do, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do this. And, you know, it just feels like there's more of a connection, at least in this area, where people get it. They get the essence of the promo and they bring that out, you know, whenever they're in front of the camera. Maybe it's just me, but I think that goes to a bigger picture, which is a, you know, a huge positive for wrestling in this area.
I agree with you 100%. And I mean, immediately what comes to mind, the best example I can think of is Bobby Orlando. I mean, so this kid, he's not even a year in. He's barely a year in. I think he's maybe 7, 8 months, 9 months, something like that. And this guy has broken out of our school quicker than anyone's ever done, I believe, besides maybe MJF, because he's probably set records. But this guy, even back when his wrestling experience, his in-ring experience wasn't great, this guy, off the bat, with the first promo he's probably ever sent, you know, the office or whatever, this guy captivates people. He's out of his mind. He's insane. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They are insane. He is, you know, you always preach to be different, to stand out in wrestling, and this guy is it. He's very fresh. He's very new. he's already, you know, and not even a year in, he's already almost a staple in CZW.
Yeah.
In Wrestle, and, you know, he debuted for WrestlePro, Creator Pro. He's, you know, this is what, I think his fourth show, and he's wrestling James Ellsworth, you know, and that's a name, you know, like that's, this guy just captivates people. His promos, I don't even care, and he isn't, but I don't care, and excuse me for, you know, the strong language, I don't care if he's the shits in the ring. This guy captivates people. People that have never watched wrestling before. There are people that come to our shows, and they're like, yeah, this Bobby Orlando guy's crazy. My brother is a huge fan of him because he's insane. He's absolutely insane. He just, the moment you press play on his promos, he's just wild. He's a wild card. Probably the most insane we have on the roster right now. I can't think of anybody else.
That's just so great when somebody could actually transcend and actually, you know, like, you know, you drag a friend to a wrestling show, and I say drag because sometimes, you know, you got that one or two friends who, you know, oh, great, you're a wrestler, let's go, and they begrudgingly go, and there's just one thing. There's always just one thing that just, you know, it hooks them, and sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes all it takes is just a crazy promo.
Yeah. If there's anybody that will do that, it's him. It's crazy.
That's just
and
awesome.
Whoever's listening, go check those out. Like, they are probably the best thing you will see all day.
And you're absolutely right about the crop of guys that you've seen coming through Creative Pro right now. Like, these guys have been hitting strides. Like, I was calling the action for Tier 1 for a few years, and I got to see a lot of these guys when they were coming up. You know, like I got to see MJF when he started actually, you know, like, breaking out a little bit. I got to see VSK, you know, some of the early stuff at Tier 1 VSK was involved in with Federated. You know, so a lot of guys like that, like, you know, even Mike Orlando came through. You know, I got to see Sonny Kiss when he was coming out of ECPW. So like it was cool just to be around there and get a flavor of, and I get completely what you're talking about, because I've seen a lot of these guys that you've mentioned, you know, early on. Even Flip Gordon, I got to call some of his early stuff because he came through Tier 1 for a bit. And you're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
Like all these names that I've been mentioning, these are people that have just like blown by everybody and just have been, you know, they've been crushing it. You know, I mean, take a look at WrestlePro on Friday. Flip Gordon's earning his way into the All In pay-per-view in Chicago. Oh, not pay-per-view, you know, like Super Show. Like, that's insane. And he's coming through WrestlePro
to
do it, you know?
I mean, he, you know, made his way over to Japan, which is, you know, huge for him, and that's awesome. I do hope my best friend wins that, but we'll see what happens Friday. My best friend, MJF, I hope, you know.
Oh, your best friend with that guy?
I'm sorry?
Are you best friends with that guy? I don't know if I could trust him so much, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're tight.
No, that's good to hear, man. That's good to hear. He's very talented. No, he's, you know what? I don't know if I'm breaking any walls down, but he's good people. And you know what? I don't see him as being over the top, too. Like, he comes across to me, like, very humble. Like, when I talk to him, I told him, like, you know, how impressed I was. You know, he's very gracious. Always, like, thank you. Like, not as arrogant as you would think he would be, if you get what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
To a certain degree, sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah. You know, if you...
I'm just going through everything. I mean, we've plugged so much already. You know, you're in the Silver Championship match against Moff with the dog collar. We've got Chris Avery Keeling versus Kevin Matthews for the Gold Championship in the steel cage. The seven-way ladder match. I don't have everybody in front of me. I know Sean Donovan's in there. I know Fala Ba's in there.
Yeah, I think it's off the top of my head. I know it's Matt McIntosh, Fala Ba, Nikos Ricos.
It's tough. Don't worry
Bobby
about
Wayward,
it.
Bobby Wayward, Anthony Bowens.
There you go.
What would you say at first?
Jeez, I even forgot. Listen, this is the way we get around
that.
I think
even like Crowbar might be in there.
Crowbar's in it. Yes, good call. I do remember seeing his picture. Yes.
Cool.
See, this is what we do from the broadcast side. We go and more. For more information, go
more,
to WrestlePro.online.com.
Yeah.
You give them a couple points, and if you screw up the rest, you just go to the website. It's all there. Tickets are available now, you know?
Yeah, right.
Well, you've got a busy weekend, my friend. You've got Dan Moff.
It's going to be a huge test, and you'll know if I made it through or not on Sunday. You'll see if I'm dead or not.
Well, I would like to see a picture of you holding both championships over your head, if that's possible.
Oh, me too.
Because then we could put that picture up on the website as one of our past guests, you know? That'd be pretty fucking cool.
Sure. Sure.
Let me see.
Go ahead. Make it work. Gonna make it happen.
No, of course. Are you big on the Twitter? I know that you tweet a lot, but are you one of these guys that follows the social media? Because I want to put your plugs out there for all your stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean Twitter, especially. I follow a lot of stuff. Usually it's all day.
Great. But it's at Bear underscore Bronson, right?
Yeah, it's at Bear underscore Bronson for Twitter. Instagram is at official underscore Bronson.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't.
And my Facebook.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I was going to get there. Go ahead.
I was going to say my Facebook page. Don't worry about that.
That's what I figured. That's why I asked you. That's why I asked you about your social media, because I didn't know how, you know, some guys are pretty tight with their Facebooks and not so much with Twitter, so I just wanted to make sure.
Because I made a Facebook page for my Bronson, for all my Bronson stuff, but I'm probably going to be switching things around with that. It's not as, there's not as much traffic with that, and gotcha. I do try to keep that going, but it's just much easier. And there's a lot more traffic that goes through my Instagram and my Twitter. I think my Instagram is probably the most traffic.
Well, there you go. What was it? Official underscore Bronson?
Yes, official underscore Bronson.
Perfect. Is there anything else you'd like to leave the folks with before we let you go tonight?
Just stay tuned to my social media and you'll find out if I'm dead or not by the end of this weekend. I wish I was kidding. But... I got a big test this weekend, and if you're going to go to any wrestling show this weekend, it's going to be this. It's going to be WrestlePro and Creative Pro. Whether you're out of New Jersey for WrestlePro or Long Island for Creative Pro. If you're a WrestlePro fan and you're going to go to any show, it's this one. I hope I get to see as much of the show as I can for Friday. Because, that show to me looks top to bottom, just extremely exciting. But unfortunately, I'll be busy with getting ready to go to war. So you can go see it. So go see that for yourself. And if you're out on Long Island and you're listening to this, Creative Pro Wrestling, it's growing and growing and growing. It gets bigger and bigger with every show. Absolutely, come check us out. Come see what we're all about. I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. We have a lot of real hungry talent that wants to be seen and wants to be heard. So, yeah, that's all I got.
You
I'm
heard
going to go.
You heard it from Bear Bronson. Now you go home and take a shower, huh?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Bear, man, I appreciate you calling in tonight, brother. Good luck this weekend. Like I said, I want a picture of you holding up the two championships for the website.
I'll either send you a picture of that or I'll send you a picture of me bleeding everywhere. But either way, you'll have something.
Sounds good, my friend. Good luck this weekend. Have some fun.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. See you next time.
Thanks. Take care, Bear.
You too, man.
Well, it was kind of weird. I said, take care, Bear. Did I just call him a Care Bear? I don't know. What a fucking great guy that Bear Bronson is. I really do hope he has some success this weekend against Dan Moff and, of course, retaining against Johnny Clash. I fucked that up. I must have read that wrong. I thought he beat Max Caster. I thought the way Max talked about it was that he lost to him. I got to fucking bone up some more on my Creative Pro Championship. But don't forget, this weekend, I'm sure we'll talk about it more soon with CPA. WrestlePro is at the Raleigh Rec Center on Friday night. WrestleProOnline.net, I want to say. I am terrible with this. Let me see if I can pull this up. This is what I get for trying to do everything on my own. No wonder Matt hates these solo shows. Let me see. WrestlePro Online. There we go. All right, anyway, it's this Saturday, 8 o'clock. Yeah, it's WrestleProOnline.com. Bell time's at 8. Like I said, Rob Van Dam's going to be there. Katie Forbes, TJ Wilson, D'Lo Brown, Colt Cabana's going to be working. James Ellsworth, LAX defending the championships. I forgot who it was. Anyway, for all your information, go to WrestleProOnline.com. Main event, Chris Avery Keeling against Kevin Matthews in the steel cage. We got the 7-way ladder match for an on-the-spot title shot. I'm glad they're bringing that back. Ultimo Dragon, Joey Janela, Bear Bronson, Dan Moff, dog collar match for the silver championship. Flip Gordon and Brandy, luscious, delicious Brandy, against MJF and Madison Rayne. Flip finds out if he's going to be all in if he wins his match. There's so much more. Holy shit, there's so much more. That's probably just like the second half of the show. Please get over there. It's the Rahway Rec Center, Rahway, New Jersey. Saturday, Create a Pro, Thy Kingdom Come. Jerry the King Lawler, Pat Buck against Alex Reynolds. I can't speak. Mark Sterling. Breakfast Club defends the tag titles against the Shook Crew. Wow, I am really channeling Matt. I think I'm nervous because I know he's listening now. Bryce Donovan and Max Caster, who we spoke to a couple weeks ago. They're very talented. They're quite talented at rapping, by the way. Don't put Vince Russo in your raps anymore. Please don't do that. That's the Sports Arena, St. James, New York. I believe that's an 8 a.m. start time. Kevin Matthews might be the new WrestlePro champion. He's taking on Teddy Hart. MJF, VSK in the Battle of the Initials. Somebody's got to give up their initials if they lose. I'm making that part up. Bear Bronson defends against Johnny Clash. And there's the Battle Royal, the King of Cap. That was it. Lots of new guys going to be there. It's going to be awesome. Please go check it out. Like I said, Jerry the King Lawler will be in the house. Go over to creativeprowrestling.com. Check it all out. Get tickets. Get over there. Give the Stallion a kick in the balls for me. I haven't seen that guy in a while. He's good people, but kick him in the balls anyway. Before CAP, Jesus Christ. Fuck, I can't talk. Before CPA calls in, we'll get back to a little bit. There was nothing really much more about the CM Punk lawsuit. Let me see. Oh, and this is how they determined. This is how Dr. Ammon was calculating his alleged damages. He said that he was due $4 million in damages, $1 per stream of the Art of Wrestling podcast. Isn't that insane? 4 million downloads for the CM Punk episode of the Art of Wrestling. That just blew my mind. Like, seriously, 4 million downloads. It's a credit to what Colt Cabana does. I know we haven't talked about him in a while. It's a credit to CM Punk and how big he is and how talented he is. And doesn't he have, oh shit, he's got a UFC fight this weekend, doesn't he? I guess I should have did some more research on UFC, but whatever. So congratulations to them. They don't have to worry about that anymore. There you go. Let me see some other news and notes and drizzling shit things. Oh, a quick plug for my buddy Louis Ramos, Low Life Louis. He's working the H2O show, Hustle Mania, this Friday. If you can't get up to Rahway, if you're down further south, if you're coming from somewhere and you can't get up there, go to Williamstown, New Jersey. H2O is having their Hustle Mania, like I said. Let me see. It's 1014 Glassboro Road. It's the old-time wrestling arena. I was reading a little something this and that apparently they are not running there anymore. Maybe they're not in existence anymore. I don't know. But what you need to know, Alex Colon and Jeff Cannonball for the H2O Championship, Schlack and Low Life Louis Ramos for the first time ever. I can't imagine what kind of weapons Louis is going to be bringing to this one. But please, make sure you check that out. We love Louis. Make sure you support him. Stockade, Connor Claxton, Devin Moore, Matt Tremont, and more. Go to h2owrestling.com for more information. Like I said, that's this Friday, too. Lots of wrestling this Friday. If you can't make it to WrestlePro at the Rahway Rec Center, please go check out Louis. It's a little more hardcore down there. If that's your flavor, you want to go there and check those guys out. It's a terrible segue, but speaking of hardcore, one thing that I would never thought that I'd be reporting about, it's fucking awful once again. Rockin' Rebel, former wrestler for ECW and many other organizations, apparently on June 1st, killed his wife and himself in their apartment in West Goshen, just outside of Philadelphia. Rockin' Rebel, known by his real name, Charles Williams, his wife, Stephanie. Charles was 52. His wife was 50. She had two 10-year-old boys. I don't know. It wasn't clear if they were in the house with them at the time when this happened. And apparently the police had to respond to their residence a few times. It just said for several occasions. I would imagine that it was probably domestic disputes. It didn't clarify for sure in anything that I read. But yeah, apparently it was a homicide/suicide situation. If you know anybody that's having problems, please get them help. If you know any issues that's going on, please just say something. Please help people out. It goes to a greater degree. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we've been seeing, you know, in terms of people with mental conditions, a lot of the school shootings, they said that, you know, I'm trying not to get political, but if you see something, please open your mouth. Please try to help out. Please try to get people the help that they need before these senseless things continue to happen. I mean, that's all I really have to say about that. It's unfortunate. It's fucking terrible. I don't know what kind of lifestyle Mr. Rebel led before the situation, but yeah, nothing good comes from that. So please try to help people out. I think the only other real note that I have, aside from all the plugs here, was the note that Leo Rush is going to be making his debut at 205 Live. He's going to 205 Live coming up from NXT. We all recall that back in October, you know, he tweeted out something that kind of poo-pooed on Emma as she was on her way out of World Wrestling Entertainment. He tweeted something along the lines that, you know, even she wasn't ready for Asuka, and he took a lot of heat for it. In recent interviews, he said that, you know, it was a learning experience. You learn from your mistakes. It's nice to see that, number one, he was still with the company after that, which, you know, some people doubted, but, you know, it is what it is. People do stupid things. People are entitled to make mistakes and learn from them and get over them and whatnot. So he's going to be debuting for 205 Live. I don't remember if we spoke about it last week. Maybe we did. But Enzo Amore has a new rap album out. Oh, he's going to have a new rap album out, starting off his career. Apparently, he's going to be hosting some sort of party at a strip club in New York City very soon to debut his album. I don't know if I'm a fan of his work. I wasn't crazy about it. I don't know what strip club this party or this debut is going to be at, so if I knew the information, I would pass it along. I tried to find out. My sources were working overtime to get on that because I do work in New York City, so it would have been nothing but a thing for me to get over there to go check that out. And once I have that information, I'll pass it along. Maybe I'll get some photographs. Maybe I'll get some pictures. I really don't have much else to talk about. What I can do is filibuster for a few minutes. I'm kind of expecting CPA to call. But, you know, rather than do that, might as well just take a good time right now and go to a commercial break. If CPA happens to call in while I'm in commercial, I could always break in and take care of that nonsense. But since not, and I really need to go make pee-pee, I guess I'll be, like the great Chris Russo says, back after this.
Here's your chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and click on your country's banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and a portion of your purchase will support us. Blue Apron, if you haven't tried fresh food, easy to prepare, and absolutely delicious, go to shiningwizards.com and click on the Blue Apron banner to save $30 off your first order. If you like wrestling videos, visit ShiningWizards.com and click on the IVP Videos banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and once again, a portion of your purchase will support the show. If you like great wrestling t-shirts designed for all of us, visit Collar and Elbow, CollarandElbowBrand.com, where wrestling fashion meets street passion. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your order. For all your Lucha gear needs, visit LuchaShop.com. Once again, checkout to save 10%. The High Spots Wrestling Network offers over 2,000 hours of video content every month. Go to highspotswrestlingnetwork.com and use the code WIZARDS at checkout for your first month free. If you're interested in great lucha crates, visit our friends at luchaloot.com. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your first crate. If you want wrestling shirts from today's brightest and biggest stars, visit Bottom Line Merch at bottomlinemerch.com. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them at Zubaz.com and don't forget to check out their Lucha masks. If you're interested in starting a podcast, doing some designs for social media, or anything else that requires some technical savvy, visit our friend Brian Thompson at GauntletCreative.com. Support those who support us, the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Just when you thought I was out, they pulled me back in. That's right, it's your boy Gino Gotts, and I'm back. Every other Wednesday, we're dropping A Drink with Gino. What do you hear? What do you say? Only one way to find out. That's right here on the Shining Wizards Network and a B-plus player radio.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew, because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B-plus Player Radio Network.
I like this theme song, but I'm not so crazy about all the whispering. I really don't remember that, and I don't know what all that is. Anyway, welcome back to the Shining Wizards, and of course, I step away from the computer while the commercials are running, and I missed a phone call. So let's see what we can do right now. Let's see if Skype is playing well with me. Here we go. Let's give the man a call back. We're going to be on the line pretty soon with Wrestler extraordinaire, certified public accountant, Mr. CPA, if he even answers his phone now.
Hello?
Hi, is this Mr. CPA?
Hi, this is Mr. CPA.
Mr. CPA, I need you to do my books for me.
Oh, boy. I have nothing to do on Friday, so.
Oh, for real? You know, I was checking that out. I'm kind of surprised. Are you really not doing anything Friday?
No, as of right now, I'm not. So, yeah, we can meet up then.
That's a bummer, man. That's a bummer.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess probably figure I could use a night off. I don't know. I don't ask the championship committee what they're up to. So I guess maybe I should.
Would you like to come over and watch some old WCW pay-per-views?
Possibly. I mean, I was trying to get on another show, but then I saw it was like 10 hours away, and I put my car through an absolute torture fest this weekend, so it might not be in the books.
Okay. All right. Well, because I know there's a little fat Italian guy that used to have you on his show, but he hasn't done a show in like 7 years, so I figured you might need a new home for your reports.
Yeah, well, that's kind of my fault, because I went through a I'll put it in cliff notes. I went through a house relocation, a domestic split recently.
Oh.
So I've been all over the place mentally and emotionally and physically. So that was kind of my fault that I just kind of didn't send him anything.
Well, that's okay.
I apologize to him in person.
He hasn't been sending us anything either, so you're good.
Oh, okay, all right. So it's a give and take.
Sorry, Gino, you suck.
Yeah, wow. No, I gotta give Gino, fellow Met fan, a big hug for the recent torture we've all been getting put through.
Okay, well then, let me ask you this: since you brought it up, you're not friends with the Stallion on Facebook, are you?
I am friends with him on Facebook.
Oh my! Please tell me you're not following him.
I follow. When sometimes he's entertaining. Other times I just give him the mad face emoji because I don't I can't really argue. You know, like I can, like I could say, oh yeah, like Judge and Stanton are going to combine for 6,000 strikeouts this year, but at the end of the day, they're also going to combine for 400 home runs in the 20-foot right field wall in Yankee Stadium. So I have a leg to stand on, but I really don't. You know, at the end of the day, the cards are definitely stacked way against me. So
it's just I don't know how any of you guys, like, I know so many Mets fans. Look, I'm not a baseball fan. But if there was anybody that I ever followed, it was the Yankees. Not because I think the Yankees are better. It's just that proximity-wise to where I lived, it was always easier to go to Yankee Stadium rather than Shea Stadium. Yeah, that's how old I am, Shea Stadium. So I kind of became a Yankees fan by proximity. Kind of like I was a Giants fan by proximity. And it also helped that the second year, you know, the year after I started following them, they won their first Super Bowl. So, you know, that kind of helped things along there. But I don't know how you guys being Mets fans can deal with it. And there's so many of you guys that I know. And I'm sure Raleigh, with the way he goes off on things, doesn't make it easy for anyone. Holy shit.
No, it's like, especially watching the interactions with him and Curt Hawkins on Facebook, and I'm like, I want to give the rally cry, like, yeah, man, you know, fuck you, Stallion. But then it's like he's not wrong. It's such a low castle to peer over. You know, I'm like, oh, like I'm exposed. You know, like I can't really, I don't have much to cling on to here. I just have like this delusional hope that, I don't know, someday. Everyone's bones will stop being so brittle and maybe they'll like last more than 2 weeks as a completely healthy team. I don't know. It's hard. I think they need some sort of like fountain of youth or some sort of like soul glow or something. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but it's hard. It's really hard.
See, this is why I don't follow baseball. This is why I don't get my heart broken.
I purposely didn't watch sports for years because of stuff like this. It was like, I don't know. Like, I liked all the sports when I was a kid to an extent. Like, I had the teams that I liked, and then they stopped being good, so I just stopped watching sports. And then probably when I was like 21, 22, I borrowed someone's copy of MLB 2K5. And I played as the Mets because most of my best friends are Mets fans. And I don't know, Steve Traxel and Tom Glavine just really. And by the time I was playing the game, those guys were no longer on the team. But I just became a huge fan of the Mets through that. And you know, obviously going to Shea Stadium in its waning days and enjoying the ambiance of the old stadium.
You know what the ironic thing is? I've been to Citi Field and I've yet to be to Yankee Stadium. And I got to tell you, I'm impressed. I like Citi Field. I think the layout's pretty cool. Like, it's got a nice vibe to it, you know?
Well, the first year we were open, I went to like 10 games just because I had nothing else to do with my life at the time. And I don't know, it didn't really have, like, it didn't have a Mets feel, you know, like it was very, nowadays they have, you know, the Mets Museum and they have all this, like, you know, like the cool pictures and all this stuff around the stadium. But that first year I was like, it was like, you walk in and like the Jackie Robinson rotunda, I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. And then that was it. Like the home run apple was like hidden behind the visitor's bullpen. I was like, I don't know, is this like really a Mets park? Like, I don't know. It was very strange, but yeah, it looks nicer now. The little Mets museum they have in the lower level is really, really cool. So yeah, it's a lot more enjoyable now than it was the first year that they were open. Cause again, there's no Mets feel to it. It was just very like, oh, okay, this is just a New York stadium. It's not really a Mets place, you know?
No, I got you. You mentioned playing MLB 2K5, and the only baseball game I ever played that was like religiously played, you're going to think I'm old as shit. It was Bases Loaded on Nintendo.
Wow. Yep. I like vaguely remember that game.
Yeah, and the reason why, and they had a team. There wasn't a team from New York, mind you. There was a team from New Jersey. And New Jersey was a shitty team except for one player by the name of Paste, who had 60 home runs and a .467 batting average. So I was always Jersey.
Wait, what was his name? Paste?
Paste, P-A-S-T-E, yes.
Was he like really white?
He looked like everybody else on the team.
Oh, I was gonna say, I mean, he must have been like the glue that bound the clubhouse together or something. It must have been like a weird nickname for him.
No, and we were not creative either. I mean, there was really no way to get any kind of chant going with the name Paste, so you know, it was just like, oh, Paste is coming up, he's gonna hit another one. You know, and back in those days, the home run record was only 61 home runs.
Right.
So, you know, we'd always be like, oh, he's going to break the record for home runs. You know, nowadays, forget it. You know, he's not even close, but.
No.
Back in the day, as they say, clearly. I don't know if too many people know this about you, and I don't know if you've ever made this public, but the one thing that really impressed me about you, aside from all of your wrestling talent and your talent with not necessarily cooking the books, but helping people with the books, but you were wearing a Mr. Bungle shirt, and I was like, holy shit, a fellow Mr. Bungle fan.
So that was when I first started wrestling, I was probably about 40 pounds heavier than I am now. So I had to wear a shirt to kind of compress my love handles, as it were, underneath the button down. So I had a rotation of like three shirts that I wore depending on how busy a weekend I was going to have. So the Mr. Bungle shirt was definitely like the main man shirt. Like I always wore that. I wore that to like the shows I was most excited for. That was usually what the Mr. Bungle shirt was reserved for. Unfortunately, that shirt is a wreck right now, and I've been meaning to put up. Well, okay, so due to my domestic situation and me having to put like 95% of my belongings in a storage unit until further notice, I don't have the Mr. Bungle shirt in my possession, but I do have to kind of eulogize it on social media, because actually it's funny, I remember you brought it up and Chris Dickinson came up to me at a show one time. He's like, oh, that's a cool shirt. I was like, thanks, man. I was like, I didn't think anyone knew who Mr. Bungle was. Like, I know they have a fan base, but I assumed it was I don't know. I guess I didn't really expect people to know who they were. I mean, like, basically anything Mike Patton has been involved in, I'm a huge fan of. So it's kind of goes without saying there. But I was always tickled when people would point out the shirt.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I became a big fan of Faith No More when The Real Thing came out. And then I found out about Introduce Yourself with Chuck Mosley, and I was like, whoa. I was like, this album is awesome as well, you know? So I started getting all in with them. Sol Invictus is a really good album, and I don't think it got nearly enough love as it should have. I guess it's kind of hard to get love when the first single you release is called Motherfucker. But but the other one of the albums that I remember listening to religiously in the 90s, and it was kind of like by myself, I didn't introduce too many friends to it because it was just so out there, was the first Mr. Bungle album. You know, I played that on cassette, mind you. I played that nonstop. I loved the shit out of that album.
So it's weird with Faith No More because I knew who my dad. My dad, back in the day, his glove compartment was just chock, filled to the rafters with mixtapes. It just had all sorts of weird shit on them. And Faith No More, although I didn't know it at the time, was a prevalent, bin on these mixtapes. So, I knew all these songs. I didn't know who did them. And then I remember, one weekend I was at my dad's house and nobody was home. And I used to just, I used to kind of trawl through my dad's CD collection and just be like, oh, what haven't I listened to yet? You know? And he had, the two disc, I think it's called Who Cares a Lot, the two disc greatest hits thing of theirs. So I was spinning that and I was like, wait a second. I know literally every song on this album because of my dad's mixtapes, oddly enough. So I borrowed one guy I knew at the time. He had all of their stuff on the CD. So I just, every week I would borrow something else from him. I just fell head over heels for them. And then I realized that he had all these other things going on, like Mr. Bungle and Fantomas and Tomahawk and the first Dillinger Escape Plan album. And I was like, this guy is the best person ever, sorry, I'm getting another call. I was getting another call and I thought it was you disconnecting, so that's why I kept looking at my phone because I have the attention span.
No, that's fine. And I don't know if you were tuned in before, and I said to myself, I'm taking a break. If he calls in, I can interrupt the break. And then of course I stepped away from the laptop. And that was when you called, and then I saw that you'd called. I said, all right, let me let the commercials run through, and then I called you back. And I saw your interesting messages to me. You're like, hey, I'm supposed to call in, and literally 2 seconds later, oh, this must be you.
Did you get the picture I sent, though?
I don't know. Let me see. Look, I like doing solo shows because I'm here by myself tonight, but the caveat to that is that I'm trying to do 6 different things at once. Oh, yes, I did. I was told I will have a special match tonight. Well, I am here. Where is my opponent? That's great. What game is that from?
SmackDown 2, I believe. Yeah, it's SmackDown 2.
That's fucking hysterical. Some of these old wrestling games, I was not into them because they looked funny and the controls weren't the best, but they had some of the greatest stories in them.
Oh, it was so good. SmackDown 2, the story mode, I think SmackDown 1, the story mode, it just gets really repetitive after you get through, the main year of storylines because it kind of, copies what went on in real life. SmackDown 2 season mode goes on literally forever, and it does recycle a lot, but I don't remember what the precursor to it, but there's always there's a Raw after a pay-per-view and someone, you're supposed to wrestle someone or someone, something's supposed to happen and someone gets attacked mysteriously backstage, and the guy that is supposed to wrestle the attackee comes down and says, I was told I have a special match tonight. Well, I'm here. Who is my opponent? And then you play as this, it's as if you want to create a wrestler and you just hit random and it's just a bunch of weird shit that this person is wearing. And then if you win the match, I think you unlock a moveset or something. A very weird system to it. But I remember I was trying to, I think I was on some show that week and I didn't know what I was doing and I was trying to plug it on Facebook and I wanted to put up a graphic of someone from SmackDown 2 saying that, and I couldn't find it on Google for some reason. So I messaged this one dude that I talked to who I know, I was like, if anyone's going to have it, it's going to be him.
Yeah.
And I just sent him the text. I was told I have a special opponent while I'm here tonight. You know, I'm here. Who's my opponent? And like 30 seconds later, he sent me back a screen cap. That I was like, thank you. That's all I needed from you today. And it's been saved to my phone since like 2014.
Isn't that great though? Like I always find like these silly memes, and like I wind up like, I'll go through my phone periodically. If they're like family pictures or vacation pictures, I'll back them up, but I'll always leave like the real juicy stuff that I find. Like I've got a great meme that somebody had. It's oh God, what the hell is his name? It's Mayor de Blasio eating pizza with a fork. And someone wrote on it, like in the meme font, it says, I eat pizza like I run this city, on the top, and on the bottom it says, like a jerk off. So anytime people get pissed off at New York, I post that up on Facebook and the hilarity ensues. I love that meme. I've been using it quite a lot lately. I love it.
My favorite one right now, I downloaded it a really long time ago, and anytime I'm in a sour mood, I'll look at it and it'll lift me up a little bit. I don't know where it's from, because I'm not really hip with pop culture, so it could be from a TV show. I really don't know. It's a picture of Shaquille O'Neal. It's two separate pictures of Shaquille O'Neal. It's one, he's wearing like a suit and glasses. He looks very proper, and he kind of has this like befuddled look on his face. And then the next picture is of him walking away, and the text above it is, when you find out that your future wife isn't a fan of Brand New. And I don't like, I just got into Brand New like 2 years ago, and they're basically like the only thing I listen to now, because I'm a depressing human being. But I can't believe someone like made a, I mean, you could put any band in there, but it was just the fact that I picture like Shaq, like rocking out to Brand New, and it just made me so happy. And just, it, I don't know, it's the best.
Did you ever see the Shaq balloon meme?
No.
Okay.
No,
so, okay. So years ago, do you remember, what the hell's his name? Mind Freak, the guy, Chris Angel.
Chris Angel, yeah.
Yes. You know, he used to run the theater at the Paramount Theater when WWF New York was there, the restaurant, which, severely underrated, by the way. They did have really good chicken wings. anyway. Oh yeah. So I used to work, when I used to work in Lower Manhattan and they were open, I was living in Queens at the time. So one day I hit my wife up on the way home, because sometimes like if I'm passing through, like I'll pick something up from a restaurant we like. So I go, oh, you want me to get food from WWF? She's like, yeah, sure. Cause she liked the food there. You know, she's not really a wrestling fan, but whatever. So I picked up 3 pounds of wings, 3 pounds of wings for the two of us. And I get this thing back on the N train. The N train smelled like wings. The entire fucking car smelled like wings. Oh, it was the greatest. People were like drooling, like Pavlov's dog, like licking their lips. I was like, nope, it's mine. I'm going home with it. So anyway, I'm on a tangent. So Chris Angel one time decides that he's going to float Shaq over the roof of this house, right? And they're like, nah, you're not going to do it. You know, there's no way. There's no way. So Shaq lays down and he does his like, and he's like waving at him and shit. And all of a sudden, Shaq just starts lifting off the ground. And Shaq starts to ascend into the sky. And Shaq starts to float over the roof of this house. So I believe it was on the Opie and Anthony show, and somebody said, look, it's a Shaq balloon. And now, every time there's a picture of Shaq floating over the house, it's got hashtag Shaq balloon. A very underrated but worthwhile meme to find if you're looking for something interesting. Yeah, Shaq balloon was awesome.
Oh,
I've got one of Gino the Guinea where, like, you know, from one of his videos, and it says, I think I see Jesus next to him, which is another good one. Oh, here's one that I found. It's Meatwad. It says, I get it. It ain't making me laugh, but I get it. I love zinging people with that one too. I'm just a memeaholic, I guess.
Yeah. Meatwad has like a good ambiguous face for certain moments.
Oh, you're an Aqua Teen fan or no?
I watched probably like 5 episodes on the first season. I'm not good at TV.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's been off the air a couple years now. They actually ended the damn thing, which annoyed me. But it's one of those situations where they put out like all like the first like 9 or 10 seasons on DVD, and then they're just like, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. So the only way you can get the episodes if you can't. DVR them from Adult Swim. It's one of those situations where you have to like download them. And I'm kind of like, it's, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, I can easily download them and have them, but I'd rather have the DVDs because it's one of those things that I'd like to collect. You know, kind of like you used to do with, like, VHS, like wrestling VHS tapes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something that I'd like to have and look at and hold, as opposed to nowadays where everything is downloaded from my Xbox if I want to play a new video game, because, you know, fuck buying games, you know?
So I kept, even after I moved out of my parents' house, I left a lot of stuff there just because, like, my old room basically became a storage room after I'd moved out. So they moved out to Long Island recently while I used to live in Queens. And I had so much stuff there, like, just way too much stuff. And I was looking through and I was thinking about it. And I'm like, I don't want to throw out all these CDs and DVDs and all these things that nobody uses or cares about anymore. So I had to think, like, okay, if computers stop working tomorrow, and I still have, like, a portable DVD player and a Discman, what do I need to keep? So that was kind of my, like, I had to go on, like, desert island theory. Like, okay, what's the parameters for taking up mass in a storage unit as far as, like, you know, importance and, again, things that I think I'll want, you know, if everything comes crashing down. Like King of the Hill definitely survived the cut. I only had, like, seasons 1 and 2, but it definitely survived the cut. When I first discovered what Netflix was on a computer, because, again, I'm not very good at keeping up with things. They had it on Netflix. They had King of the Hill on Netflix. And I was like, all right, I'm going to watch the whole thing because, I mean, I've seen half of it already. And then they got rid of it. And I went through a similar thing. And I was like, all my stuff is in store. Like, what am I going to do? You know, like, I understand the struggle of, like, physical mediums and just, I don't know.
Well, I tend to get more retentive now if it's things that are digital, like, you know, pictures used to be, you know, you take the roll of film, you get it developed, and now, you know, yeah, you have the pictures, but you still have the negatives. And as long as you keep the negatives in good shape, you could always go back to, you know, to the developer or a pharmacist or, you know, a pharmacist, Jesus, listen to me, you know, CVS, and you can get them, you know, developed again, and you can get them whatever size you want and whatnot. So I've been burned a few times where I've had computer hard drives crash on me and I've lost pictures that I wanted to keep that were digital. So, and this is how anal I've become. Every time I have an old computer that doesn't work anymore, rather than get rid of the computer in its entirety, I'll strip it down. I'll buy a house for the hard drive and I'll turn it into a USB drive. And I will back up everything on there. So literally on my desktop computer, yes, I still have one of those. I have 3 portable drives that I converted from old hard drives with family pictures, you know, movies that I've downloaded, episodes that I've ripped from DVDs, just so this way, if one of them goes down, I'll still have it in 2 other locations. Oh, and I buy a spindle of DVDs, blank DVDs. So periodically, I will burn them onto DVD and put it in an old, get this, kids, a CD folder. Remember those? Remember when you used to have the CD players in your car? Some of you used to have like 20 or 100 disc changers, and you'd put them all in your CD changer so you'd be cool as shit, where you'd press a button and 25 seconds later, you could have a new song?
I was using a disc. I had an iPod for a little while, and then it stopped working. And so for like 3 years, I was using a Discman, and I kept that going from like 2009 till about 2012 when I finally bought a new iPod. I was the CD guy. I was the only guy on the train with a Discman, but I was okay with that.
And did it have like the disc skip like thing where like it would save some of the song into memory, so if you did jar the disc it wouldn't skip?
No.
It was a really holy shit, you're as old school as I am.
Yeah, it wasn't that modern. It was pretty bad.
Okay, let me interrupt you. I gotta tell you, you want to talk about not modern and what an asshole I felt like? So I used to drive a Camaro. If you ask anybody else on the show, I had that car for like 20 years. And finally I said, fuck this. I'm getting married. I need a new car. So I finally got rid of the thing. But the stock radio started to go. So what did my brother do for me as like a nice gift for my birthday? He decided, look, fuck that thing. It doesn't work anymore. I'm going to buy you a CD player for your car. I'm like, holy shit, a CD player. This is awesome. He got me an appointment at Nobody Beats the Wiz, the car center near Willowbrook Mall when they used to be there. And I left my car there for about an hour and a half. They put in like that new faceplate to fit the new radio and all this and that.
Yes.
It had everything. It had like the, you could pull it out by the handle so you could take it with you so nobody will steal your radio. Remember that shit, kids? And here, this is the sad part of the story. I left that fucking place. I felt like $1 million. I opened my CD, my CD wallet that I had, and I put in Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 1. I put it in there. I'm driving away. I'm listening to fucking, it's great. The first fucking bump I hit on Route 46, and I lost the CD for 20 seconds, and I said, this sucks. Everything that I had built up in my mind that I was stepping into like the late 20th century gave me a big fuck you. Not 2 miles from Nobody Beats the Wiz.
Oh man, did you at least make it to Live and Let Die, or like it wasn't even?
You know what? I can't. What the hell was the first song on there? It started out really fast too.
Right next door to Hell.
That was it. Yes. I think I managed to get near the end of Right Next Door to Hell because it was one of the shorter songs on the CD.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Yeah, man. I've had my heart broken by technology. Here's another funny story for you. So we were talking about Faith No More. It was 1991. It was between my junior and senior year in high school. That's how old I am. We had a class trip to Italy. It was part of the Italian club. We went with Seton Hall Prep, so there was about maybe 30 or 40 of us there. And it was great. We had the best time ever. There's two things I learned about going to Italy when you're a teenager. One, you drink your ass off. You had a good time with your friends. But two, you don't appreciate shit that's around you. Like the Leaning Tower, you know, the Piazza del Duomo, the Spanish Steps. You know what my biggest memory of Venice was? We sailed down the canal on a gondola where Madonna filmed Like a Virgin. That was it. Everything else, Madonna was here. That's all we fucking remember. But I had my Walkman, which was a tape Walkman, not a Discman. We were at a restaurant. I believe we were outside of Rome. It was on the second floor. So we were near the balcony, near the edge. It overlooked the street. I was taking out my Faith No More tape because I wanted to put in my Motley Crue tape. It was a mix, by the way, all the good stuff, including bootleg stuff. Mm-hmm. I drop the tape. It falls the story down and lands on the sidewalk. Oh, shit. I dropped my tape. So a nice Italian gentleman coming by. I managed in my 3 years of high school Italian to convince him to throw the tape up to me. Well, apparently this fella was not much with a throwing arm. And the tape made it 3/4 of the way up and went back down to the sidewalk because he didn't catch it. And I watched my Faith No More, The Real Thing cassette shatter into 6 pieces. Yes. So I had to spend the rest of the trip without my Faith No More tape. But in fairness, I did buy the CD as part of my Columbia House 10 CDs for a penny when I got home.
There you go. I was just talking to someone about Columbia House recently. Now, the one thing I liked about Columbia House, I mean, my dad had it. I never had it because I was like way too young to take advantage of that sort of thing. The one thing I liked about Columbia House is that the CDs that they sent you always had like some weird like addition to it. Like, I want to say it was like a collective soul album or something. And like, one they had in the stores just had the regular black backing thing where you put the disc. the one the Columbia House sent my dad had like a clear backing case thing where you put the disc with like a picture behind it. So I always thought that was kind of cool about Columbia House. They sent you like these weird Easter eggs that you didn't know you wanted, but suddenly you really, really were like, oh, this is like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, that's one thing. First of all, you know, yeah, you're right. The differences with the Columbia House discs, but you know, it goes to a greater thing that's lost is I used to love opening, you know, liner notes, just even if it was lyrics of songs or pictures of the bands. Like I remember buying Paul's Boutique on cassette, the Beastie Boys album. And mm-hmm. they had all these great pictures on one side of this huge foldout on the cassette. And on the other side, it was just one big sprawl of all the lyrics of all the songs, not divided by song, mind you. It was just one long stream of consciousness of every single word from every single song. I thought it was the coolest thing. And you don't get that when you download the stuff now, you know? I mean, some of them are like, yeah, you'll get a digital copy of the liners and this and that. But by and large, you don't get that. You don't get that anymore.
I think there was one album that I think it was like, I could be wrong. I think the Blink 182 Dude Ranch album had like the like stream of consciousness, just like continuous scroll of all the lyrics on the album without being separate. I think it was that one. There are other ones, but that's the one that comes to mind. I'm pretty sure that was my experience with that. That's great. Yeah, I liked. Yeah, that's why I kept all my. Well, I didn't keep all of them, but I kept like. Probably 25% of the CDs I had, because the other ones were like stupid ones that I would pick up at FYE when I thought I was like this crazy like avant-garde music. I was like, oh man, this new Wesley Willis album is great, and I was like, it's really not that good. But you know what? I spent the $17 on it, even though it was used. But you know, no one else carries it, so it was $17. It's a rarity in the used section at FYE. Why'd I buy it? I don't know.
Yeah, we were into Wesley Willis too. There were a group of us. I never bought one of his albums though. I just wound up going on LimeWire or Kazaa and just downloaded everything that I could. But you know what? I don't care what anybody says. The same music, sped up, slowed down. Well, he did have a couple variations as he got more, you know, more musically inclined, but, you know, I enjoyed a lot of that stuff, and I got to tell you, if you're listening out there, not even so much Wesley Willis as a solo artist, but if you can get some of the stuff from the Fiasco, that was a hell of a band, and him with the way he sang over that music, there was something just like completely special about it, and I don't mean that in like a learning disability way. I mean like there was just something really cool about him singing over this music.
Yeah, there was a thing that I heard about with him that he had this like trademark thing that he would do where he would like headbutt people when he met them or something like that.
Yes. Okay. If you get a chance and you want to learn more about Wesley Willis, I forget what the documentary is called. It was on YouTube for a while, so you might be able to find it. But it goes into this whole sad thing. Like he was actually living with this woman who like took him in because she felt a kinship with him. And I think she kind of felt bad for him because he was kind of on his own. And he actually, I forget what ailment he had, but he was actually suffering from something pretty serious. And he refused, like he was going for treatment for a while, but after a while he was just like, he was supposed to be taking meds for it, and he was just like, you know what, screw it. I want to go out and I want to be on the road and make music. And ultimately, that was what his downfall was. Like, he loved being around people and making music so much that, like, he forsook, he gave up his own health just to, like, go out there and make music because it made him happy and it made people happy. Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting documentary if you get a chance to check it out. Goes into his family, into like his creativity, like, you know, like wanting to be an artist and trying to, it's so funny. Like they show him like trying to sell his artwork on the street and stuff. It's really funny stuff. It's really good stuff.
When you brought up forsaking your own health for music, I immediately thought of the, I don't know why, because it's a completely different story, completely different context, completely different sympathetic range. I thought of the Gigi Allen Hated documentary. Not sure why. But yeah, I watched that a few years ago, and that was an experience to say the least. I watched that and Heavy Metal Parking Lot in the same day. I was all filled up.
You know, I can't bring myself to see anything that he did. I'm just afraid. Like, it's one of those situations where like I don't want to like have to unsee something. And that's like, that's what I'm afraid of. If I try, if I like, you know, attempt to check out any of his work.
So here's the, I have like a very vivid memory of things that I didn't like seeing, and I will recall them in my head constantly. And that's probably one of the many things that make me the shell of the person that I am today. Nothing was that bad in there that I remember it. So I think it might be, I have a pretty weak stomach when it comes to certain things, like bodily fluids and stuff like that. Nothing was that bad that I remembered it. Like, I was like, oh, that was terrible. I can never like look at, you know, this again. So yeah, it wasn't, if I got through it and I don't remember anything vividly terrible about it, it wasn't too bad. I've seen worse that wasn't supposed to be, wasn't supposed to have that effect on me.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. I think, do we want to plug what's going on Friday, since you seem a little perturbed about it, or should we move on to Saturday?
Oh, I mean, we can plug Friday.
Okay.
Friday.
Well, full disclosure, I plugged a lot of it already because Bear Bronson called me earlier. So don't feel like you have to go through each and every thing. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
so feel free to talk about whatever you want. I mean, you know, this is your part of the show. I mean, you know, it's been your part of the show for the past half hour, but you get what I mean.
And instead we chose to talk about Columbia House. That's fine. Friday, Russell Crowe is going to be at the Raleigh Rec Center, 275 East Milton. Is it Avenue or Street?
Just say road.
I just know how to get there. I don't, you know, like, Russell Crowe is going to have a pretty big show going on there. James Ellsworth is going to be there. Joey Janela is going to be wrestling Ultimo Dragon, which I'm happy for him, but I'm also mad because those are the types of matches that I want, that I enjoy having. Just silly stuff like that. Bear Bronson is going to be challenging Dan Moff once again for the Russell Pro Silver Championship. Kevin Matthews is going to be challenging Chris Avery Kewling, a.k.a. Big Ben Cromwell, for the Russell Pro Gold title in a steel cage match. And then I think RVD is going to be there, but he's not wrestling. I think he's there with his wife. Is it his wife?
Is it his wife? I thought they were on the outs for a while. Or does he have a new wife? Or is it the old wife? I don't know. I'm not too up on the domestics, unless it's John Cena and Nikki Knockers, just because it's stupid. That's the only way I could tell the Bella Twins apart, by the way, because Nikki got the enhancement, so I call her Nikki Knockers. It works. I mean, shit, whatever floats your boat, right? It works for me. That's how I can tell them apart.
Yeah, that's fair.
Unless I call Brie like vegan tits. I don't know. I mean, Daniel Bryan's vegan, right? I mean, I guess that works too.
She's the one who wears, she's the grunge one who wears the shirt around her waist, I think, right? Doesn't she do that?
Probably. She's probably hiding the leftover belly fat from the baby, right? I don't know. See, this is why I don't get into domestic matters, because I, you know, fuck all if I can figure my own domestic matters out, let alone somebody else's.
That's going to be Friday. Friday's going to be Russell Pro, big show, be there. I may or may not be there. I may or may not be peddling some other services other than wrestling, I guess. But yeah, go to that. It'll be fun. It'll probably, what's the weather like supposed to be like on Friday? Do you have the...
You know what? I do have my phone next to me. I could pull up my handy dandy weather app. And I could tell you what Newark's going to be like. That'll get you close enough. Oh, look at that. Newark is going to be cloudy with a high of 77 on Saturday, 82 on Friday.
Okay.
So it's going to be nice weather.
For those of you who are scouting out this Russell Pro show, be warned that if it is, I guess 80 isn't so bad, or 75 isn't, you know, 77, whatever, isn't so bad. The rec center does get a little schvitzy, I think is the word I'm looking for.
Okay, all right. Let me handle this for you in the way that our listeners understand. Asshole, if you're going to the rec center, take a fucking shower before you leave.
Yes.
Please. please. And you can ask Matt too. He's rubbed up against quite a few smelly pricks in his day. He can't stand when people go to wrestling shows and they're not of the highest in hygiene quality. So please do everybody on the roster and everybody else in that building a favor, shower. Even if you just put on some cologne and wipe the sweat off the crack of your ass, just do something. Be a little clean. Yeah. Change your drawers, please.
Throw on some lady speed stick. It's usually 10 for 10 at Stop and Shop. Take care of that. But be forewarned, no matter what hygienic standards you're up to, it does get a little warm in there sometimes. So, yeah, prepare for the worst, but expect the best.
Well, there you go.
And then Saturday, Creative Pro is going to be returning to the sports arena in St. James, New York. It's, I think, Northern Suffolk County, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. It's St. James. Throw it in the Google machine. You can figure it out. It's the sports arena, yeah. St. James, New York. Thy kingdom come. Jerry Lawler's going to be there.
Jerry the King Lawler is going to be there. I'm excited to watch him wrestle in person. I've never seen... Like, last year, I got to watch Rock and Roll Express wrestle in person for the first time, and that was an absolute joy, even though they did nothing virtually because they were in a triple threat tag match, whatever sense that makes. This is going to be fun. Actually, no, that's not true. I saw Jerry the King Lawler wrestle at the first wrestling show I ever went to. I'm such an idiot. I think it was... Pretty sure it was him and Brett, now that I think about it. Yeah, because there was a thunderous Burger King chant going through Nassau Coliseum. Anyway, so Saturday, Jerry the King Lawler is going to be teaming up with Pat's Buck against Smart Mark Sterling and Alex Reynolds in what I assume will be the main event. Bear Bronson is going to be defending the title that he does have, and he may be a double champion by that point, against Johnny Clash in a rematch from the show from the last Creative Pro show. Myself and Francis Kip Stevens, collectively known as the Breakfast Club, will be defending the Creative Pro Tag Team Championships against Max Caster and Bryce Donovan, collectively known as the Shook Crew.
Now, let me interrupt you real quick. Max Caster was on a couple weeks ago. He played that rap song of his. Look, those guys are pretty talented. I'm not going to take anything away from them. They put that asshole Vince Russo in, and all he did was shit on you the whole time. So fuck him and fuck them with their song. That's all I got to say. CPA is my man.
It's taken a big toll on my my mental, a bigger toll than was already being taken on my mental and emotional well-being, that Vince Russo has outed me as a complete slob who drives around in basically a garbage truck. That has been a tough pill to swallow, to say the least. And I've been to seek therapy recently because of that, and a combination of that and many, many other things going on in my life that are just completely ruining my will to get out of bed in the morning. That's happening. James Ellsworth, I think. Yes, James Ellsworth is going to be on that show as well. He's going to be wrestling Bobby Orlando. There's going to be a battle royal for the King of Creative Pro. You're going to see a lot of new faces there. And also some familiar faces. Delroy, Kyle Reynolds. I can't think of who else, but I know. Brain dead right now. Anyway, I'm going to move on before I just bury myself deeper into this hole.
That's why we use the phrase and more. That's all you have to say.
Yeah, I know. Every time I go on a pod, there was this one podcast I used to run out of Brooklyn that was like really close to my house, and I would go there and they would feed me IPAs. And by the time we got around to plugging shows, I would be too buzzed to remember what was going on in the show, or I would go off on one of my white girl wasted tangents. So I'm trying to avoid that right now. So that's why I'm trying to hit all the bases before they get away from me. Creative Pro. Sorry. Creative Pro, the sports arena in St. James, New York. Be there. It's going to be Saturday night. I assume bell time is either 7 or 8. I don't remember. Get there for 7 just in case. We do not want a bunkhouse stampede incident where people get there an hour late and they miss, you know, people get there at 8 and they miss the first hour of the show.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out. It's pretty stacked. We talked about it earlier. MJF versus VSK. Kevin Matthews taking on Teddy Hart. My boys, the Breakfast Club, defending against the Shook Crew, like we said. Just one quick thing before we wrap up and we get to the good stuff, which is your social media. Do you guys? I'm looking because I have CPA and FKS written here for your names. You guys ever think about doing merchandise with like kind of like a Run DMC, but put CPA and then FKS underneath? Because then people can read it real quick. And it looks like CPA fucks. Because I think that'd be a moneymaker.
That is a good idea, but I think that's a great idea, actually. I think Kip would probably take exception to being the bottom half of that, as he usually takes exception to things like that. So I wouldn't want to put him through that. So we'll put that on the back burner for now. I'll bring it up to him a few times. I'll see where it goes. I don't know. It's possible.
I dude, I'm telling you, if you tell him you're going to make money on that, I don't think he should have a problem with it, honestly.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll get my best salesman voice on for that one. I'll just give him your number and I'll have you convince him because you already sold me on it. So
sounds good. You want to follow CPA? Go on the Twitter and the Instagram. It's at CPA Wrestles.
Twitter, Instagram, Blog Journal, Zanga, MySpace, Grindr, AOL Instant Messenger, all of them. Tinder? No, not Tinder. I'm ashamed to admit this, but I made a Tinder account recently. I didn't want to, but I did it. I made the plunge. And I couldn't, like, you can't use like a username. You just have to put your real life name, which is like, I don't know. I didn't want to expose the business that hard. So I got a bone to pick with Tinder right now.
Ah, that's terrible. That's terrible. Handsome guy like you. Come on. That's terrible. Tinder's got to get on that. Tinder absolutely has to get on that. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, maybe you can go check out Solo on Friday. I hear it's not doing so well. It could probably use a couple bucks. You know, the mouse needs a few more dollars in its wallet. And good luck on Saturday. Have some fun. Crack some skulls, you know, and some
thank
eggs
you.
Too.
Thank you for having me on. I haven't asked before, but I would like to make an in-studio appearance eventually because I feel like as much as I've enjoyed this conversation, I feel like the real charm of a podcast is in person. So if you guys wouldn't mind, I would like to make my way over there one day. I'll wear my tightest, most sexy Adam Levine brand jeans. Whatever you guys want, you know?
Sounds good. Well, CPA, this has been a pleasure, my friend, and we will definitely do
likewise.
That. We will figure something out this summer.
Likewise. Thank you for having me on. I'll talk to you guys later.
No problem, brother. Take care. That was the abominable CPA, and I missed his call earlier, and I feel bad about that. But we got to wrap up. It's way past the 9 o'clock hour. Not so much that we have to get off the air, but I still got some things I got to take care of. But there is one phone call that I need to make real quick. And I think I'd be doing myself a disservice if I didn't get this gentleman on the phone. Hopefully he's answering. I hope
he
didn't.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Oh, that stinks. Okay. Well, this is somebody else that I didn't want to call, but I'll take his call anyway. What's up there, Shining Wizards Matthew?
What's up, Tipdick? I'm never letting you off the show.
I know. This is ridiculous. I was trying to call Phil back because Phil actually asked me if I was taking calls. I was going to call him just for a second to check in with him. But since I saw you were calling, I figured I'd try calling you because he's not answering his Skype. What's up there, Charlie?
Nothing. How you doing there, buddy?
I'm tired, man. We plugged WrestlePro and Creative Pro, Jesus, for about 95 minutes of this 2-hour trek into wrestling talk. So need to plug them anymore.
I listened live.
What?
On the ramp.
Yeah, we're live on the ramp, buddy.
No, I listened on the way home, sitting in traffic the whole fucking time.
Well, sucks to be you, I guess. Hey, did I tell you how much I like doing solo shows?
Do you like it or not?
Well, you know what it is? I had a bunch of stuff to talk about, and then I got on with Bear, and then when I came back, I only had a couple more things to talk about, and I was like, oh, I'll take a break. And then, of course, after I take the break, I got on with CPA, and that's all I've been doing. So it worked out timing-wise, but for a second there, I was like, I got nothing else to talk about.
Did you talk about the guy that killed himself?
Yeah, we talked about Rock and Rebel. We talked about The Garden and AAA and WWE. We talked about Coco. I'm saying we, like I talked to somebody else. It was all me. Good Lord Almighty.
You better close the show with some Mr. Bungle.
Yeah, you know what? While I'm on the phone with these people, I'm trying to pull up some Mr. Bungle, and unfortunately I pulled up the same thing that Inconclusive Breakdown played a couple weeks ago, but screw it. It's new to this audience. At least some of them, anyway.
I like it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
All right, I didn't want you to do a show all by yourself. I figured I'd call in. And Monday is Kevin's birthday extravaganza, so this is a very exciting time for everybody involved.
I already plugged the hell out of it. I already spoiled. I said we got some big names right off the bat, so they should tune in right at 6:30 because they're not going to want to miss a second of it.
Right. Don't, you didn't spoil anything.
No. Of course not.
But make me nervous.
No. I would never do that. Come on.
And I wanted to call when you're talking to CPA because I just fucked Jerry Lawler, by the way.
Really?
I do not like Jerry Lawler. I think Jerry Lawler is the worst thing to come out of the Attitude Era. I've been watching a lot of old WWF, a lot of WWE. He's such a fucking creep.
No, yeah,
he's
no
such
kidding.
He's such a creepy. Oh, God, I watched an episode of, I've been watching like 2002 Monday Night Raws, and I watched an episode where Eric Bischoff did the hot lesbian action thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Jerry Lawler on commentary. Oh, the whole time.
Oh, and you know who I blame? Awful. I blame Road Dogg because he's the one that came up with the puppy stuff, you know?
It wasn't even the puppies. It was the hot lesbian action thing. And then at one point, even JR had to be like, all right, King, you got to calm down. It was like over the top. And then you wonder why he was accused of raping a 14-year-old.
Oh, easy.
You fucking creepy old man. He blocked us on Twitter, too. That fucking old grumpy piece of shit.
Wait, for real?
Oh, like I guess a while ago.
Oh, that was probably your fault.
He blocked us. JBL blocked us. Shawn Michaels blocked us when we were running for president because I guess we kept tagging him and stuff.
Why would you do that?
Vampiro blocked us. And I think that Daphne the Scream Queen, I think she blocked us too at some point.
Great, so we have no love from anybody anymore, thanks to you.
I just named five people. What is that?
What?
There's like music.
Oh, you hear that? Oh, crap. I was trying to add Phil real quick, but I guess I'm not going to be able to do that. I didn't think you could hear that.
Oh, no, I heard when Bear Bronson called, too. It came over loud and clear.
Oh, like the phone ringing?
Yeah.
Oh, stupid Skype. Ugh. I thought I had that. No, because the stupid software, it just updates on its own, you know?
Can you add Phil? Or no? I don't know how to work the new Skype.
I'm trying to, but yeah, because he was on Skype, and I'm trying to, like, dial his number, but it's not, like, it's come... It's coming through.
Are your fat fingers getting in the way?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to call him now, so we'll see what happens. Oh, maybe it's going through? I don't know. Maybe? No, it's not going through. Yeah, whatever. I feel bad because I told him I wasn't taking any more calls because I wanted to start wrapping up, but whatever. It is what it is.
Huh. All right, well, I just wanted to check in, say hello to all the fans. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Tony hit a home run.
No, I didn't, but thank you for the compliment.
I relentlessly texted him and busted his balls the whole ride home.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
I got in the car and you and fucking CPA are talking about the Mets. And I go, what is this, the fan?
Mike and Amanda, back after this.
I'm Mike from Parsippany. I want to talk about the basketball game.
Oh, come on, dude. We had fun. We were talking about the Mets. We talked about the Yankees. We talked about Mr. Bungle. We were talking about everything.
I know. And then I had to go in the shop right, and then I came out, and you were fucking talking about collective soul.
Oh, shit. I got to read you this text I just got from Phil. Hold on. My fucking bus was involved in a hit and run.
That's fucking amazing.
This guy doesn't catch a break, man. I swear to God. Please turn in the Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Fridays at 9 on the Rant. Phil needs some love. This poor fucking guy.
He needs to get out of fucking wherever
he needs
lives.
To get out of Staten Island.
Some kind of civilized.
He needs to move back to Brooklyn where he belongs. That's where he's from. That's where his people are.
Brooklyn Zoo.
That's right. Oh, wait. Phil's coming in. All right. So you know what? Let me run. I'll take Phil's call. I'll talk to you later.
All right, brother.
Hey, see ya. Dude, are you okay?
I'm fine, but fucking this moving truck railed into my bus on Spring and B-Way.
Oh, God. So you're not like, even close to being home.
No, of course not. Why would I be, man? It's my shitty commute.
Yeah, but
I'll keep it on Facebook. So
no, but that's all right. I mean, at least you're downtown. Like you can pretty much get to the ferry now if you had to, right?
Yeah, well, I can just get on the next bus. They run like every 10 or 20 minutes. So I mean, worst case scenario, you know.
That's not bad. So, it's just that now you're going to have all these assholes getting on the same bus with you. It's going to be delightful.
Yeah, and the balls of this one dude. He's like a fucking, like a 70, 60-year-old dude. He's like, and, you know, the poor lady, the driver, was trying to get, like, a witness to fill out a report or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And the dude's like, I want to get off the bus. I'm like, I told him, your fucking prostate should fall out, man. This poor lady shook up. The hit and run, you cocksucker.
Oh, man.
Oops. And he looked at me like, what? I'm tired. Like, motherfucker, I'm tired, too. I've been up for 15 hours, you geriatric nightmare. Piece of shit.
Shit. I was going to get off at, like, 9 because I was going along with CPA, and I'm tired, and my kid's probably looking to go to bed. But I figured, you know what? I had a second. An asshole was calling me, too. I just got off with Matt, so I figured, let me give you a call for a few minutes. Holy shit. It's been a long show. I wasn't expecting the show to go this long, you know?
I got a cool Columbia House story.
All right. Yeah. All right. Cool. Then we'll close it with that and then we'll wrap it up. Go for it.
So I just stopped collecting about 8 years ago, but I have like over 600, 700 CDs.
What?
And what I would do is I would use my last name, but different first names. Like
I'd
be like Phil and then I'd be Jorge. I'd be Jose. I'd be Carlos. I'd be Tom. I'd be Billy. And I would send money orders to Columbia House. Because, you know, you get the 10 for a penny, and if you add an extra, you know, $8, you get, like, you know, 8 more or 6 more, whatever the hell it was.
Yes, of course, yes.
So I fucking banked, man. Oh, man.
It's a miracle they stood in business as long as they did.
Oh, yeah, I robbed them motherfuckers blind. I mean, I paid for some of this stuff, too, though, you know? So
yeah, but they were around from, like, I remember cassettes. I'm assuming they did 8-tracks at some point, too, because it seems like they were around.
Yeah, my parents had an 86 Fleetwood Brom, and my mom would rock the fucking Rick James 8-track and Hall & Oates and
of course she
Billion
did.
Dollar Bit Alice Cooper, you know?
Let me tell you something. My mother's younger sister is, like, I want to say she's maybe, like, 10 years younger than her. Or maybe something like 10 or 12 years younger. So when I was a kid, she was like still in high school. And yeah. She had all of her old 8-tracks, dude. She had like Chic. Remember them? Like I Want Your Love and La Freak and all that. My God, dude. She had the greatest disco collection ever. Like she had like the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack on 8-track. It was great. Great stuff. Those were the days, man. We're fucking old. Uh-huh. But you know what, dude?
We're old, and we're the last of a really good generation, man. We really are. We truly are.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Hey, if you guys really want to hear Phil and I go off on the way things are going currently, hop back 2 episodes on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and you'll get an earful on quite a few things. Hey, you know what, you bastard? I didn't even get a chance to hit you up. You did another hour after we got off the air that night? You're a sick freak.
I just lost track of time and I started getting into some other shit and no one's in the house and I got like a second wind after that Red Bull kicks in, dude. I'm a disaster.
No, I hear you, man.
I'm a disaster. So it is. Even Choppy called me. He's like, yo, you did another hour. I'm like, yeah, dude. Thanks for nothing. You know, joking around with him, obviously. But yeah, no, he's working hard, bro. It's gonna be a rough couple of weeks, but yeah, it's, whatever it is. But
no, it is, man. I'm telling you, I'm kind of surprised I'm on the streak that I'm on right now. I think I've done like 6 or 7 weeks in a row, which is a miracle for me.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, you just got to pick your spots. You got to do it while you can. Now, the summer, who knows what's going to be up because Matt will be slinging pizzas a lot, but we'll see how it goes, man. The summer of fun.
Yeah, Captain Brick Oven in effect. That fucking Jimook.
Of course. Well, listen, then, let me run, dude. I've had enough. I want to go to sleep. I got to put the kid to bed and stuff, and maybe throw the wife one. You know, I don't want to say it too loudly because otherwise she'll turn me away.
you motherfucker, every chance you get, my friend. Yeah, dude, you got to do.
That's all, man. You got to take the old sausage to old Tuna Town or whatever the hell they used to say.
Good show tonight, brother. Good show tonight.
Thanks, brother. Hey, man, good luck getting home. Hopefully it's sooner than usual.
Love you guys. Take care.
Love you too, man. Take care.
All right.
And that was Phil Rea. Tune in to Turnbuckle Throwbacks every Friday, 9 o'clock on The Rant, of course. Folks, I've been going way over time. I'm done. I promised Matt I would leave you guys with something from Mr. Bungle, and that's what I'm going to do. So don't forget, Monday on The Rant, tune in. It's going to be Kevin's birthday bash, Bonanza Spectacular. Don't miss it. 6:30 special start time. I think it's going to be at least a three-hour show. It's coming from Studio B. I'm going to try to be there for some of it. But show Kevin some love. Show Matt some love. He's got an awesome creepy Uncle Matt t-shirt that's available on ProWrestlingTees.com. Go get that. Check that out. I'm Tony, and I'll see you guys next time.